It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Amari Cooper having more of an impact for the Buffalo Bills than Devontae Adams will have for the New York Jets.
Sign me up for that. This is a year of Josh Allen's prime.
We want to get him in here and get him up to speed on our terminology and our system and see how he fits in.
He is averaging his highest amount of separation since 2018, so he is still a great deep threat.
The Bills get all the production without the drama. He's still got it. I mean, the guys are playing at a high level.
Mike Danger.
Another reason to feel optimistic about the Bills.
Yeah. Gene Battaglia.
You're 4-2. You get a winnable game coming up this week. You got to be loving life if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. Now that we have this news that Amari Cooper is a Buffalo Bill, give me the scenario where Josh Allen is healthy and the Bills don't win the division.
I can't think of it.
No.
Let's go Mets. Go Bills.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
We go to Cleveland in about 20 minutes. We'll check in with our buddy Spencer German from our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Talk some Guardians, but also talk about what the Bills have traded for in wide receiver Amari Cooper, who's in Buffalo with the team, walk through today, and still no real determination as to whether or not he'll play on Sunday, how much they'll use him on Sunday. I think McDermott saying that today is because he has to say that today. He's going to be out there on Sunday, even if it's just for a handful of plays. And I love Tasker's take that you want to get him involved early. This is a good Tennessee defense. Their front is heavy, and you're going to have to be physical. I want to see Josh Allen get the ball out quick. And if you're doing that with Cooper, with Shakir, I think you have a chance on Sunday.
You know, you just make this game one-dimensional. I think it kind of goes along with what, you know, Tasker was mentioning. Is Will Levis really going to match Josh Allen point for point in this game? Really? Really that's going to happen? Listen, I love PJ. I disagree with him on this take. I think just kind of the sine wave for the Bills where it's up and it's down. And, well, this was kind of a downtime, right, where you're getting clocked in Baltimore. You lose a tough one in Houston. It was an ugly night. You won in with the Jets. You're back home. Plug into the energy. And when you make a move like this, just like how for the Jets it got everybody to sit up a little straight when you get the new coach, hey, we're making a big trade. We believe in you guys. Mm-hmm. That's what it said. And it's not like Marquez Valdez Scantling was this guy, Danger, that, oh, he's gone. He's out of the locker room. I'm kind of sad. No, I think that you're going to welcome him in. And, my gosh, even if you use him, to Tasker's point, I don't think you target him the first three times, but how many times do you target him this game? Five? Six? Seven? I would think that would be a fair number.
Be great. We'll have the action for you, of course, coming up Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff, pregame coverage right after Italian Carousel. That's at 9 a.m. Coming up Sunday morning.
I'm checking the wire right now just to see if MVS cleared waivers or if the Chiefs actually put in a claim at this point.
I mean, after your conversation last night with Binky, Binky, Binkley.
Binky. Binky.
I work with a girl named Binky at one of the other stations that I work with. Sorry, Jay. Sorry about that. I might just call him Jay Binky from now on. I imagine that that's not out of the realm of possibility for the Chiefs. If you're a Chiefs fan and you're going, oh, man, we need to get somebody. Well, get somebody that you can bring in right away and who's familiar with all the pieces. That would be MVS. And I'm saying that. And if that does come to fruition,
there
will be MVS in the playoffs making plays against the Bills along with Xavier Worthy and all of the ghosts of the, you know, these names of the Mahomes and MVS and Xavier Worthy. We've just handed the Chiefs all this talent that loves to rub our noses in it when we face them when it matters most.
He says. You know, the Worthy conversation I'll listen to, but MVS, what did you see out of MVS?
Nothing.
Nothing. There was one play at camp where you and I were both on the sideline, and it's a post pattern, and he splits the safeties, touchdown. Oh.
That's what he can do.
Then what?
Then what happened? That's what he can do, but that's never what you see him do. It's...
The funny thing about this too, Danger, this, other than Mac Hollins, closes the book up against the S against the wall phase of the Buffalo Bills wide receiving corps, because nothing worked. Not Chase Claypool, not Quinton Cyphers, none of these guys. I guess KJ Hamler's still on the practice squad.
Yeah, but we talked to KJ Hamler. I get the sense he's a good guy to have around. Like, he's a good team guy. He's a I'll do whatever it takes kind of guy. I don't get that sense. I never got that sense from Claypool. A guy who literally quit on his team. And MVS, just bringing him in, I know that he and Josh Allen developed some kind of a rapport relationship early on, but I wasn't impressed with him at all through the course of the preseason, and was kind of surprised that he actually made the team, to be honest. I mean, we were saying all throughout training camp, is this guy even making the team? We don't think so.
Well, the one thing, too, is, and when we're out of camp, we are not allowed to really report on things before or after hours. However, now the camp is really kind of past, 6:30 in the morning, Mac Hollins is out on the turf field at Grounding Stadium doing his workouts, doing his stuff. That's why he was named the team captain, Danger. He's doing all the extra things, all the extra work. Think if you're a coach, think if you're a high school player, college player, that's what you want to do. And I'm not saying that MVS didn't do that, but I don't know if he did. I can tell you Mac Hollins did.
Tom Brady is now a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, courtesy of a unanimous vote. Unanimous vote by the NFL's owners. I guess the NFL wants to, the owners want to make a statement like, hey, you too can own a small share of your favorite NFL franchise, and we'll let you in the club unanimously as long as we get, you know, controlling, as long as we can continue to control. So with that in mind, now, can we end this publicity stunt by Fox? Because as an owner, Brady hasn't been able to get the kind of access, or what won't get the kind of access granted to the impartial media members, and his lack of ability to fully prepare for each game he calls only magnifies what we all know. He's not very good in the booth. Greg Olson was 10 times better than Brady, and I'm sure he'd jump at the opportunity to be back on Fox's A-team. I'll have some say. I'll hear people say that Brady can kind of do whatever he wants because it's what he's done his whole career. Dare I say, Fox needs to be bold this offseason and make the decision for him. Do what NBC did with Drew Brees. Cut ties after a season. Let him enjoy the perks of NFL ownership. The Brady experiment needs to come to an end.
I'm going to disagree with you on one thing. Don't do it after the season. Do it now. No, I'm being honest, because if they're going to say, hey, you can't criticize the officials. All right. Well, if you're in a game that you had Monday night, what does Tom Brady do? Is he just going to keep his mouth shut? Hey, you can't tamper. Where's the line when it comes to saying nice things on the air and tampering? If he gets a Houston Texan game and really says, boy, there is no better route runner than Steph Diggs in this league, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Is that tampering, or is that just stating facts?
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is going to find itself in a messy situation with Tom Brady when it comes to his mouth. He's going to say something. And knowing Brady, how much he loves his image so carefully what's the word you say in FM radio? Curated. Curated image, meticulous about his image. This is not good for his image. It really isn't. Get him off the broadcast now and get us somebody like Greg Olson, who's actually going to help viewers, help us understand the game a little bit better.
Yeah, I've seen enough, and I think that Olson, I mean, this isn't a stretch to say that Olson is just multiple times better than what Brady has been. Brady is on the A-team by name alone, and now an even bigger disservice being done to the viewers because as an owner, he won't have any access in his preparation process to any of the other teams. It's kind of a stunt at this point. It's a publicity stunt.
Well, the news from today, other than Amari Cooper out of Buffalo, we do have this nugget that, yep, they brought in more kickers, according to GM Brandon Bean. Just kind of look-see here. No word about the status of Tyler Bass, but look, you know things are going really bad when you have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman goofing on you.
Bass, no chance.
Wow.
That was just weird. I've seen better kicks than that on College Game Day. What was that? 3-point game.
Wow.
Just an absolute dunk from the free throw line. He shattered the backboard. Joe Buck shattered the backboard on Tyler Bass.
Some are saying that Quinn Williams actually might have got a hand on it. I've gone back. I can't say that.
And I hope so, because if he didn't, Buck is absolutely right. That was horrific. That was... He's not wrong. You've seen better kicks on College Game Day than what Tyler Bass did with that kick.
Correct. But this isn't a one-off with Bass. It just isn't. And you really have to look for the solution. But, okay, what is the solution? The Bills have, right now, according to SpotTrack, $2.2 million of cap space. And you need that space for practice squad elevations. Tyler Bass has a dead cap figure of 7.3. And there is only one solution. And this week it isn't the solution because I don't think you're going to need a Tyler Bass kick to beat the Titans, okay? But I honestly think you're going to have the wheel of kickers. No, listen, hear me out, Danger.
Uh-huh.
Because you can sign guys to the practice squad, you get three elevations.
Yeah.
And do you really need KJ Hamler in the practice squad, or do you say, you know what, KJ, just keep yourself in shape, then you elevate, and then Tyler Bass will be a game day inactive? I'm telling you, that's going to be the solution.
I don't think they're going to do it. It is a solution. You can manipulate it. You can do the, you know, make them active for three games if you want to cherry pick which games you think you might need your kicker more than Tyler Bass. But you've heard Brandon Bean talk about Tyler Bass. He's not going to do that. He's going to completely wreck his kicker. It'll completely wreck him. It will end whatever is left of him. And all he's going to continue to say is, well, he needs to figure it out. We're worried about it. We need to keep working at it.
Okay, so we get to that point, though. There's six games left in the season. You haven't wrapped up the division. You have a few dome games coming up in Detroit and the Rams. Playoff games also on top of that.
I'll tell you what's a more likely scenario.
Okay.
Tyler Bass hamstring injury is a more likely scenario at some point this season. I'm not wishing an injury on Tyler Bass, and I hope you can read between the lines of what I'm saying here. I don't think Tyler Bass will have a hamstring injury, but I think Tyler Bass will have a hamstring injury at some point this season. I think that's more likely than the call-up. I think then you could say, oh, I mean, he's been battling and then, you know, he's not ready to go or whatever. They can hide behind an injury to their kicker.
You can do that for a couple weeks, but how, you know, when they come sniffing around, like, hey, how's that hamstring?
Did anybody come sniffing around Devontae Adams, who's a way more high profile player in the NFL than the Buffalo Bills kicker? I think that's a more likely scenario than spinning the wheel of kicker and elevating guys from the practice squad.
Okay, you and I can find a common ground on this. I'm losing faith at Bass.
Oh,
figures this
God,
out.
We didn't have faith in the preseason. I mean, he's completely broken. He needs to find that mojo. I don't know that he will. And I can guarantee you that if they do what you're proposing, it's over. I mean, he's done at the end of the year. He's not coming back, and he will be worthless for the rest of this year because his confidence will be completely shattered.
Oh, by the way, other teams do this. Like the Packers had a draft pick. They just cut him. I'm like, I noticed that from my fantasy, yeah. like Narveson. Nope, you're out. Brandon McManus was sitting there.
Yeah, that creepy guy Brandon McManus is now the Packers kicker.
Yo, yeah, what did he do?
He's a little bit of a creep.
All right.
Today is a special day for me. 18 years ago today, I can't believe it's 18 years already, I experienced one of the greatest moments in my fandom for my favorite team, and I'm wearing my Bears hat today as a commemorative nod to this game. Bringing it up because I know how revered these moments are if you're a fan. Everyone remembers the Bills comeback against the Oilers. Pats fans will always have 28-3. And I will always have this.
You know, I mean, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Oh, God, you don't know how sweet that music is to my ears. Oh, I can't get enough. Just directly inject it into my vein. I went back, Gino, and I watched the truncated version of this game on YouTube.
So what happened that lead up to that point?
I can't describe to you how bad Rex Grossman and the Bears offense were that Monday night. We're regulated by the FCC, after all. All of the Bears' points in that game against Arizona were scored on defense and on special teams. It was the kind of win that makes you believe anything is possible in any game at any time. The look of anger and disgust on Matt Leinart's face as he walked off the field at the end of the game. The absolute eruption that you just heard by the late Dennis Green, the coach of Arizona at the time, and the post game. Every fan needs to have a list of these kind of games in their mental Rolodex. Happy anniversary to the Bears are who we thought they were.
God rest Dennis Green's soul.
And Dennis Green, yeah, by the Dennis way, Green, like when I lived in Minnesota before I moved to Rochester, I remember being at a party in Minneapolis, and Dennis Green was at this party. And he was awesome. He was such a great dude. He was polite. He was everybody that wanted to take a picture with him. He would take a picture with him. He was conversational. He was just a regular dude. He was a really, really great guy. So I wish it was another coach that had the meltdown, but I still, hearing Dennis Green lose his composure the way he did, because he normally wasn't like that, was at that point, I'm like, whoa, that really tells you how significant that win was for the Bears that season and how much that loss cost Dennis Green and the Cardinals that season.
Yeah, to me, it's just so refreshing. Like, that's, you know, everybody has a regulator on their mouth, and you hear Dennis Green in that raw emotion. Now, was that the year the Bears go on to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they were undefeated going into that game.
Wow.
And everybody, you know, the Bears travel well. When they're good, they travel well. You saw it Sunday morning in London. There's a lot of Bear fans in London. And much like the Steelers, much like the Packers, much like the Bills, they'll travel. And at that game in Arizona with the team undefeated to start the season, there were a lot of Bear fans there. And I remember watching that game in my living room and being frustrated and elated at the same time. Like, it was such a roller coaster ride. I'm sharing it with my daughter. My daughter is now like invested in the Bears because she went with me to Chicago for the Panthers game a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, if you're going to be a Bear fan, you need to know the history. So she's already watched the 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears. And I've shared, you know, Devin Hester's highlights and blah, blah, blah. And here, look at this game. Watch this. This is 18 years ago tonight. Look at this and tell me how significant that win was as they were on their way to a Super Bowl loss, unfortunately, against the Colts. But man, what a memory. 18 years ago, Dennis Green absolutely losing his mind after the Bears absolutely steal one in the desert from the Cardinals.
Go ahead and crown their ass.
Oh, God, it was great. Punching the microphone, walking off. And then you had the handler.
Mark Dalton, like in the background, from Arizona, like, oh,
yeah. And he's like, okay, Matt Leinart is coming up next. Trying to like lighten the mood. It was so bad. Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, our Odyssey Sports sister station, joins us next. We'll learn more about Amari Cooper coming in, and we'll talk some guards as well with German on The Fan.
You're listening. listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott says there's been no decision whether or not Amari Cooper will play coming up Sunday against the Titans. Cooper, by the way, will be wearing number 18 with his new team. McDermott on Cooper.
Pleasant, pro. You know, he's a grown man. I mean, he's been in the league 10 years now, and he's seen a lot of things, a couple different teams, and he's experienced the ebbs and flows like we all do of the NFL, and like I said, we're happy to have him.
Today being just a walkthrough for the team, full practice coming up tomorrow. We'll get the thoughts of Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He joins us next here in the Sports Bar. Mets and Dodgers, Citi Field tonight. It is Game 3, series tied at 1. Luis Severino going against Walker Buehler. Got Sabres hockey tonight as the Sabres begin a 3-game road trip. They're in Pittsburgh. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. Gene Battaglin, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Going to Cleveland next, checking in with our buddy Spencer German. You can hear him on our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. Spencer, are you restricting yourself from talking Browns football this time of year? Is it all guards talk on The Fan, or are you putting everybody in a little bit of an unhealthy state by bringing up the Browns?
Yeah, I think we all are hoping the Guardians are a nice distraction from everything going on with the Browns right now, because it's kind of a mess. But obviously down 2-0 in the series, we might actually be talking Cavs here pretty soon if they don't turn it around coming up tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, the guards are a nice distraction from everything that seems to be going wrong with the Browns right now.
A pick swap, a third up to a six or a six to a third. Was that enough to give away Amari Cooper, a player on an expiring contract?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think from the Browns standpoint, if Cooper had started the season playing better, I wonder if that value could have maybe been upwards of like a second round pick. But I think like the rough start to the season maybe hindered that a little bit. I felt like the value was probably fine. Like, this is one of those trades I look at and I say, it seems pretty even across the board. You know, the Bills are getting a guy on an expiring contract who's, you know, rounded into his age 30 season. Not that he still can't play. I think he's actually going to do really, really well in Buffalo. But, I think from the Browns standpoint, it was kind of about, let's start figuring out draft pick accumulation and sort of stockpiling some things, and a third rounder being sort of one of those day two picks is a valuable asset that you can use to maybe move up and down the draft board, or you could actually use that pick to help bolster this roster. I mean, simply put, like, the Browns are sort of facing a transitional period, I think, coming up after this season. And so for them, I think it made a lot of sense. For the Bills, I think it made a lot of sense. And you do wonder, because Cooper was sort of looped in on some of these Brandon Ayuk trade rumors back in August. And I think obviously if you would come away with trading him then and gotten Brandon Ayuk on the back end, you're probably talking about the value being even higher in terms of what the Browns are able to get. But like I said, I just think like the game tape to start the year and the fact that he's now several games into his expiring contract maybe drops it down to a third a little bit.
Spencer, you know this, the secret to happiness in life is managing expectations. So while a lot of people are very excited about Amari coming in to be, you know, Buffalo Bills wide receiver for Josh Allen, I look at it like at minimum he's going to take some of the pressure off of the rest of the wide receivers. I don't know how much of what we should believe out of what we've seen out of Amari Cooper this season. ESPN analytics have him rated as the single worst wide receiver in the NFL. He's tied for the league lead in drops. And we saw this player just last season with Joe Flacco explode down the stretch. So which Amari Cooper do you think the Buffalo Bills are getting, and how much of what we've seen out of him this year is actually due to Deshaun Watson throwing the football?
Yeah, so I think the point you kind of made at the end there in regards to how we looked with Joe Flacco is kind of the thing I keep going back to. Like, I have a hard time believing that just because he turned 30, what, like 3-4 months ago over the summer, that all of a sudden, like, he's just not this good player anymore. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, when he's playing at his best, he, in my opinion, is, you know, a fringe top 10 wide receiver in this league, and he kind of goes under the radar, I think, because he doesn't have that brash personality, that sort of out there personality that a lot of people associate with receivers. So he kind of keeps to himself and just kind of puts his head down and goes to work. And I think that's maybe hindered a little bit, like where people rate him. So yeah, like, has he gotten off to a bad start this year? Of course. Like, when you're leading the league in drops, and some of them were bad, bad drops this year. I mean, we saw it firsthand week after week where he was dropping them in key situations. And it was like, man, like, what's maybe the most egregious was the one against the Raiders a couple weeks ago, where it just bounced off his hands and turns into an interception and kind of cost the Browns that game because they were driving down the field with a chance to score. But I think there's something to be said for a fresh start. Everywhere he's gone, when he's gotten a fresh start, he's generally thrived. It's a little bit different this year because he's getting traded midseason, and so he's got to kind of get acclimated pretty quickly. But being a veteran guy, I don't know. Like, I think that there's a lot to be said for a guy who I don't want to be too long-winded here with my answer, but like, there were signs that he wasn't long for Cleveland, I think, dating back to the summer when he wanted a contract extension. The Browns clearly didn't want to give it to him, and all they kind of did was restructure the last year of his deal and guarantee him some money. Then he's linked into these Brandon Ayuk trade rumors, like we mentioned, and I think that kind of rubbed him the wrong way. And then he gets off to the slow start to the season. There was clearly a disconnect, I think, with him and Deshaun that we saw on full display this year. And even at times last year, they weren't always on the same page. They had some moments together and some games together where they played really well. But he was, I mean, his best numbers came with Joe Flacco, obviously, under center. So I just think, like, it was maybe just a situation that had become too tenuous to fix. And I want to be clear, like, I don't mean that in a way where I think he was a cancer. I don't think in any ways he was disruptive in the locker room. All his teammates said today in the first reactions to this was that he showed up and went to work and was really close with guys and still interacting with guys and helping some of the younger guys on the team. So I don't think he was a problem in the locker room at all. I would not certainly classify this as that type of situation with Amari. I just think, like, there was some the relationship between him and the team tarnished a little bit, given everything that transpired since earlier this summer.
Well, I guess, too, if you're going back to the trade, I can understand that. I'm also kind of wondering, too, is this kind of in a way signaling, hey, we are going to be sellers at the trade deadline. We're still a few weeks away. The Browns didn't need to make this move yesterday. So what's being said right now? Are the Browns going to be sellers? And if so, who might be available?
Well, if you believe Kevin Stefanski, which usually he's just kind of blowing smoke up our you-know-whats when he just kind of comes out and gives the company line on things and doesn't really give much away. He's very Bill Belichickian in that way. But they say that they're still focused on winning. But I think all of us in the media, I think the team is smart enough to realize like what this type of trade means. And I understand like he wasn't playing like we just kind of said, he wasn't playing amazing for the Browns where it was like, oh no, you know, you're losing this star receiver, but it's still it's your number one receiver and a guy that was well respected in that locker room, a guy that they expected to be as he had been the last couple of years, a leader on this team. And so, yeah, like I have a hard time just believing that this was done with the intention of like, well, our goal is still to win. I mean, think about it. Like when the Bills this past offseason traded Stephon Diggs, the narrative around this team was for you guys was, well, hey, this is maybe kind of a take a step back here and sort of retool around Josh Allen. Now they went out and obviously added a guy to maybe go chase this thing. And that's great for you guys. But I think like anytime you trade a top receiver, it's kind of obvious like what the intention is here. Like you're I'll put it to you this way. The Browns are not better today for trading Amari Cooper than they were yesterday. And I think that's kind of the bottom line for all of us is to me, this is I guess I won't completely say like a waving of the white flag, but I do think it is a signal that like, hey, we're starting to think about what this thing looks like the rest of the way, who's going to be here longer term, who's not, what we can trade and get draft capital for. Because I think given how Deshaun's played, given what this offense looks like, they're very much in like accumulate draft pick mode and start sort of planning for 2025.
He is Spencer German. You can hear him on our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Good with his time to join us for a few minutes here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Spencer, let's talk about what that future might look like because there are so many questions around the Browns, and obviously this hasn't been a good start to the season. Deshaun Watson is playing historically bad football at quarterback, and there are rumblings out there, rumors out there, that the Browns want to get out from this horrific contract that they have signed to Watson's name. How does it all look the rest of this year? I mean, like, it feels bad now. It could actually be worse down the stretch, correct?
Yeah, and that's the troubling thing for Stefanski, man. Like, he's got to navigate this thing and sort of tread lightly because he has to balance not losing the locker room when he continually says, I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win and trots him out there every week on top of managing the locker room after something like we saw yesterday with the Amari Cooper trade and sort of still trying to signal to the guys like, hey, we're still winning. We still want to win while also trying to navigate the idea that, like, at some point, like, if the results aren't there, guys are going to start turning on Deshaun. Like right now they continue to say all the right things. They're like, man, we think he's really tough. We know he's out there grinding. He's gone through a lot of different things. You know, he's our guy. They're saying all the right things. But that only gets you so far when you just keep accumulating losses the way that they have. And at some point, I think all of us are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop where you start getting some of these. I mean, you guys know from all the years of covering the Bills, like when there's bad years, like you start getting guys talking a little bit more freely and maybe sharing their true thoughts on Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of this team. So that's the thing I think the team's trying to navigate and avoid. But the longer that they trot him out there, the longer that they continue to say he gives them the best chance to win, and then the results on Sunday are what you guys have seen, I'm sure a little bit of, just not good football and one of the worst offenses this millennium. At some point, like, that's going to wear on people where they're like, well, are you really serious about winning if this is what you continue to do? And there's conversations about like who actually has the authority to make that call. Kevin Stefanski says it's him, but it certainly feels like there's some pressure from ownership here because they don't want to look like they messed up this whole situation with Deshaun to keep playing him. So I have my doubts about whether or not they'd bench him this year, because if this season continues going the way it is, and let's face it, like, it's pretty much already sort of in the toilet. I think that the goal sort of then becomes, can you salvage Deshaun Watson at all? So I wonder how close we are to that being the question, and how close we are to maybe them having to make a call on switching quarterbacks, because you're going to lose the locker room if you don't.
So, Spencer, one more thing on Stefanski, because I kind of hear what he's saying, and I know somebody was being funny online and posted like subtitles to one of his press conferences, almost as if it was a hostage video, and that he's just saying whatever the owners want him to say. And look, if you're an owner, you love that out of your head coach. You want your head coach to say and trumpet what you want to put out there. But Stefanski, a two-time coach of the year, is a better coach than what we're seeing right now. And if it goes badly, if he loses the locker room and they have to part ways, I would imagine Stefanski's on a sideline as a head coach as soon as next season. why would the Browns do that if the guy is truly doing exactly what ownership wants him to do and he's being, at minimum, a good employee?
Yeah, he certainly is, and this is, you know, every season because the coach is the one that meets with the media the most, but he sort of has become like the human meat shield for a lot of the distractions and other things going on, especially as it relates to Deshaun. He has to go out and answer those questions every week when ownership doesn't. So you're right about that. Well, I mean, and it's fascinating because usually when you get sort of, I don't want to call it a standoff because I don't know that there's like a rift between Deshaun and Kevin, but like when there's a standoff within an organization between like, do you side with the quarterback or do you side with the coach? Usually the quarterback wins. And this is a really unique situation because we know how much the Browns invested in Deshaun financially, most notably, as you guys know, $230 million guaranteed, but also the three first-round draft picks they gave up over the last couple of years that you could have used on other players to help this roster. And now you're at a point where it's like you're 3 years into this thing. Now you've also invested a lot of time in this guy. So given how much they've invested in him, like you would think they'd have to keep siding with Deshaun because they have to somehow find a way to make this thing work and for him to look good. But at the same time, like, are you really going to fire the head coach that is the one steady presence that's been able to sort of course correct an organization that for so long couldn't get out of its own way and that got you two playoff appearances? And I understand, like, there's the two coach of the year things, the two coach of the year awards in there. That maybe matters, but I also, those are sort of arbitrary to me because they're, you know, voted on by outside people. But, like, yeah, like, that all matters in the context of things. So it almost just feels like, I don't know that they would fire Stefanski, but it almost feels like they would just do what they did last offseason and blame the offensive coordinator, which is also kind of crazy because how many times can you do that? How many actual times can you play the card of like, well, it's the offensive coordinator's fault? And so that means maybe they point the finger at Ken Dorsey. But then I wonder, like, what that means for Stefanski next year if they really do stick with Deshaun. There's a lot of questions there, and I continue to go back to, like, if Deshaun can't run Kevin Stefanski's offense, I don't know why they pursued him in the first place and made him the guy that they really desperately needed to be the franchise quarterback of this team, because that's been the biggest problem is, you know, guys like Joe Flacco come in and they run it flawlessly and the offense looks great, and then you have to build some special offense for Deshaun, and it looks like the worst offense we've ever seen.
We're talking to a Rochester native, now with 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Spencer German, our guest here. Is there any hope at all the Browns can get out from underneath this? Because there was, I don't want to say glimmer because that's the wrong thing. You had an accuser stepping forward, but it got us wondering, wait a second, there's a lot of chatter there. That, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess that has been resolved here, but I'm looking at the cap numbers right now for Deshaun Watson. His cap hit this year from $27 million. That jumps to $72 million next year. The dead cap figure next year, if you want to move on, $172 million. I don't even know how you would go about that, Spencer. Is there any hope that the Browns would have some sort of plan to get out from underneath this?
Yeah, so the timing of you asking this is interesting because there was a report today that the NFL is still looking into this latest incident where the woman accused him of basically sexual assault, like many of the other cases that were out there. And he was asked about it today and said he hasn't spoken to the league. Now, I don't... This was kind of, to your point, like it popped up on people's radar because it felt like a chance for the Browns. If he hadn't reported this to the team when signing the contract, there's language in there that they could have gotten out from it and if he gets suspended under the personal conduct policy. But the problem is now, because he settled the case and his, you know, whatever sort of settlement there was, and it sounds like she was the accuser has sort of been sworn to, you know, not speak of it or talk to anybody. I don't know that she's going to meet with the NFL now. So I don't know how much the NFL is actually going to be able to uncover in terms of trying to issue a suspension to Deshaun. And that's kind of the interesting wrinkle here, because if he doesn't get suspended, then the Browns can't really use that as their golden parachute, if you will, to get out from the contract. And so that brings us back to what you said, just the cap figures. There's still $92 million that he's owed in terms of money that I guess he hasn't seen yet. It's fully guaranteed, but like Obviously, you guys know, like, the bonus money is the stuff that he gets up front. Every time they restructure, he gets that up front. So the money that hasn't officially, like, gone to his pockets yet is, I think, like, $92 million if they were to move on from him. But like you said, it's a lot more than that when you spread it out over the cap for the next, like, 3-4 years where you had all these voided years put into it. So, yeah, they're kind of stuck. Like, this is a lot different than the Russell Wilson, you know, get out from under his contract with like 2 years to go thing. I want to say his numbers were far less than this. And so the Browns have kind of done this to themselves, and how they navigate that's going to be interesting, which is why, you know, the draft pick accumulation thing kind of is important for them, because if they're serious about finding a different quarterback, I think the only option at this point is going to be, well, hey, you got to try to draft one and hope that on a rookie deal, like, they sort of supplant Deshaun until you can pay out the rest of his years that he's owed. And then you maybe roll on with that future potential franchise quarterback. So, yeah, like, all these things are kind of tied together, but I don't see like an easy out for them to get out from underneath the Deshaun contract until after potentially next year.
ALCS shifts to Cleveland tomorrow night. Spencer, what are you looking for out of the guards now down 0-2 to the Yanks?
Oh, man, they really need a quality start tomorrow. That's been the biggest difference, I think, in this game, is just the Yankee starters obviously have been really good, and they're giving you like 5-6 innings. And first two games, like, Guardian starters, I think for game one, Alex Cobb went maybe 2 innings. And obviously last night, Tanner Bibee only gave you 1 1/3. So they really need a quality start. And the other part of this is, like, they got to get the timely hits. They struggled with that in the last round. And then at the right time, games 4 and 5, like, the timely hits started coming. So hopefully being down 2-0 is kind of a wake-up call for them. I know the crowd's going to be pretty raucous here in Cleveland. They're going to be excited about this one, and maybe that sort of shifts things back in their favor. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Guardians make it a series.
Yeah, Spencer, you know, like, Rochester, tons of Yankee fans. Secondary market, only $67 for tomorrow. If it goes to Friday, it's only $100. I mean, can Yankee fans feel okay coming down to Cleveland, in other words, there? Because it's not that far a drive. What are we talking? Like, we could do it under 4 hours.
Yeah, it's about like 3.5 hours, I think, is when I go door to door from my parents to my house. It's like 3.5. So I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I mean, I here's what I'll say. Cleveland hates the Yankees. They that's like probably the team they hate the most. But it's not like a Philly situation down here where, like, you got to worry about people throwing snowballs at you or anything like that. So I think if people want to come down to the game, that'll be fair. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of Cleveland fans who are trying to buy up those tickets as well to make sure that they block the Yankees fans out.
Spencer, when can we hear you on The Fan?
So again, my schedule is always kind of sporadic, but I'll be hosting the afternoon show tomorrow, 2 to 7. So you can hear me on 92.3 then. And then probably pregame on Sundays the next time I'm on. So that'll be leading up to the Browns game. If anybody has any interest in listening to the Browns pregame show for a 1-5 team, that's where you can find
them. We have interest in listening to a guy from the 585 doing big things in Cleveland, buddy. It's great hearing your voice. Appreciate you making time for us, and we'll be paying attention.
Yeah, man, always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. There's Spencer German, 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. What a mess the Browns are. Whoa. An absolute disaster.
Maggie and Perloff do this thing every Wednesday morning, the great debate. The worst contract of all time. There's no debate on this.
Yeah, like, it's the Watson deal.
Oh, my God.
It's going to cripple them, not just for the term of Watson. I mean, this could keep them crippled for a decade.
So if it's not going to get any better, why not just hit the nuke button right now? You can't do anything this year, but maybe you're sitting him down and you're selling off everything. And then you cut him. You could probably do it next year if you spread that out over 2 years, and then you're going to just be bare bones.
What about... I wonder what's in his contract as far as discipline for any transgressions.
Well, doesn't this seem ridiculous? Like just take a step back. You're going to get out of this contract because you didn't tell us about this one thing. Okay, he told you about every other thing, but you decided he was still good for the league. But because you weren't honest with us.
Well, I just wonder if there is like an out clause, because if you end up on the, you know, if you get suspended for personal conduct, you know, violating the personal conduct policy.
How good are Al Lerner's lawyers?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like that's like right, like the owners, lawyers, how good are they? Also, for the league, I don't think Park Ave really cares about the Browns after, certainly the other owners don't. After you did this, ha, they're like, no, you know what? That's your grave. Go sit in it right
nobody's
now.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for him. Wow. Just an absolute disaster. And an unbelievable fall from a guy who early in his NFL career looked like, you know, one of the future elite quarterbacks in the game. Just a complete downfall. And you can't say that, given what we know, he didn't deserve it. He's a bad guy.
Also, for Yankee fans, if you are off on Friday, and part of this might be, oh, we're down 2-0. I don't know. Why wouldn't you, like, for $100 the get-in price?
There'll be Yankee fans there. They're going to be
a lot of
Yankee fans there. I know that Spencer said that the Guardian fans hate the Yankees more than any other team, and that's kind of universal. I think most of the AL Central teams view the Yankees as like, oh, they just buy their roster. They don't. They view them through a different lens.
Well, look, I have a good friend of the show, Josh Reed, WIVB in Buffalo. You know, he is from Cleveland, and he's a Guardians fan, and he keeps on tweeting out, like, the score, but the score divided by the payroll, and pointing out that the Yankees had the five. This is what I would say to any Cleveland fan or any team that has a low payroll. You know what? Look at the Padres. Okay, you too can have a higher payroll. It's your owner that decided, you know what? I really want a bigger margin here. Like, some teams are more egregious, mind you. Like the Pirates, I don't know how you would deal being a Pirate fan. But for the Guardians, they run their business smart, but spend a little bit more money. You can be the Padres in baseball.
Right. No, I can tell you, from growing up in the Midwest, when the Yankees were winning titles, everybody just plugs their nose. Ugh, the Yankees. Ugh. Because it's always been the perception that they will go out and buy a championship, that they'll always have this high payroll. And I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. If you want that, your billionaire owner should go buy himself a baseball team. He already owns it. Now buy a team and compete and get out there and get after it. The Yankees figure it out. The Padres have figured it out. The Dodgers have figured it out. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think there's any secret.
Yeah, look, there's the local revenues are higher. Okay, when you own your own network like the Yankees do and the Dodgers. But again, the Padres don't have a TV deal. They just have an owner that, okay, I'll just take a little bit and we're going to reinvest for the community. Ah, what a concept.
Disturbed is coming to KeyBank Center on April 4th, 2025. Tickets for this show are going on sale Friday morning, 10 a.m., livenation.com. You listen to the Sports Bar. You listen to the Fan. Let's reward you for that by giving you a free pair of tickets to see Disturbed with Daughtry and Nothing More at KeyBank Center, April 4th, 2025. Caller 5 right now at 866-4326, 866-4FAN, and you win. Amari Cooper is in Buffalo. Happy Hour is next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.